Zorba Pastor on Your Health is pre-recorded.
From Buck Studio at Wisconsin Public Radio, this is Zorba Pastor on Your Health. I'm Carl Christensen, and I'm here with family doc Zorba Pastor. We'll spend the next hour with you in our virtual doctor's office, but Zorba.
Yes?
You're about as real as it gets. Zorba's as real as they get, folks. We're going to talk healthy
I mean,
living.
Not an optical illusion.
No,
that's right.
I don't think so.
That's right.
We're going to talk.
I'm 3D. I'm real 3D.
I think you're 4D,
right.
Actually.
I am 4D. I'm yeah. Time. That's right. Time
you're,
is the fourth.
You're about 40, right?
That's
42,
right.
40, 43, 40. Somewhere in there?
Yeah, let's.
Okay. We're going to talk healthy living. We'll walk you through a healthy recipe. We'll get to some of your phone calls and emails and a few voicemails as well. And if you have a question for the good doc, the number to call anytime is 800-462-7413. And along with those calls, we'll discuss a few healthy living topics, Zorba.
Sugar, believe it or not, it's not always good for you. And we're going to talk about the first 1,000 days after conception, some really interesting data that comes out of the UK, United Kingdom Health Bank, about sugar right after conception and how it affects the baby. Hmm. And then we're going to talk about literally 5 minutes of extra exercise a day may lower your blood pressure. In other words, there are some minimal things that you can do to make a big change in your life.
Wow. And what's our special guest chef recipe?
It is a wonderful recipe. Spicy mango salad, mango chow as it's called. It's a wonderful guest recipe. You will like it. A great cookbook.
Sounds great. To the phones we go at 800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. Let's welcome our first caller now from Benton, Kansas. Hi.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I am just delighted.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Delighted. It's very nice. Well, we're delighted to have you.
Yeah.
We're delighted to have you. So how can we help you?
Well, I have been to the doctor for this problem, for the last 5 years, and I just can't seem to get resolved with this. And so the short version is in 2019, I was able to run a 10K, no problem.
Nice.
And today I can't hardly run around the track once without just gasping for air.
Wow.
And so, yeah, it's just horrible.
Awful.
So I'm 69. Mm-hmm. I exercise I go to the Y five times a week. I'm, maybe a little overweight, 10 pounds or so.
But what happened? Did it happen suddenly or over time?
I think it's over time. And so what happened is, so in 2022, I went to the doctor and I said, man, I just got this nasal drip. I'm the only one in yoga that coughs, had a little cough when I'm laying down. But I really figured out that something was going wrong is I went to a Garrison Keillor concert in February of 23.
Okay.
And I don't know, you probably know who Garrison Keillor
you
is.
Bet.
But,
you bet.
He always has these sing-alongs. Mm-hmm. And so I'm singing along with this song and we are marching up and down stairs, long story. But all of a sudden these old ladies are passing me singing to their full-throated, and I can't hardly catch my breath, and I go, ooh, something's wrong.
You bet.
When
you can't catch your breath for something you normally can catch your breath with, that means there is something significantly wrong. Yeah. So what'd you do next?
Okay, so I went to the doctor and said, okay, this is what happened. I can't catch my breath. And that started a whole string of things over this last year and a half. He sent me to a pulmonologist who said I had mild COPD.
Uh-huh.
I said, okay. He wanted me to use a inhaler, but I said, well, I don't, when I'm running around the track, if I just slow down, I catch my breath and I'm fine. So anyway, I kind of declined that. I'm not really a big medicine girl. Also tried an allergist and they did a test of 60 things on me and I'm only allergic to mugwort. He said,
mugworts? Mugwort.
Yeah, so I don't know what that is even. But
mugwort. It sounds like something out of Harry.
That's what I was
Harry
thinking.
Potter.
Harry Potter.
Mugwort's right. That's right. Mugwort. That's right. Don't read Harry Potter because you're allergic to it and you'll break out in hives. The mugworts. That's right.
Yeah.
Mugwort, that's right.
So she said, that was probably not an allergy kind of an issue. So then I went to an ENT who did a CT of my head or my sinuses.
Oh, you did everything.
And Oh gosh, I'm still getting started. So went to him, said I have no sinus issues at all. I thought it was probably a sinus thing.
Yeah, not for shortness. Yeah, not for shortness of breath. I mean, postnasal drip, said, yes.
Uh-huh. Okay, right. He said mild deviated septum, probably not. If I fix it, I could fix it, but probably wouldn't really help you much.
So let's go back to one of the things. Yeah. So first of all, in your past, did you ever smoke at all?
Yeah, way back, 1980s, maybe, for 10 years.
But you did smoke for 10 years. Okay, a pack a day, half a pack a day.
How much? Yeah, probably 2 packs a day.
So 2 packs a day for 10 years. So you're a 20-pack, you're a 20-pack pack-year smoker. So that means something. And then you went and had pulmonary function tests, and you've got some element of COPD. The answer is to try the inhalers. That's the answer.
Okay.
100%.
Okay.
There are a variety of different inhalers that the pulmonologist would recommend. So some of the inhalers reduce mucus. In other words, they reduce the mucus production that's going on within your lungs. Other the inhalers actually reduce the inflammation that is going on in the bronchial tree. And then other inhalers sort of open up the bronchial tree that may be spasming. There really are 3 different things. And there are a variety now of inhalers that use some or all of them together. And they really do make a difference. You got to call the pulmonologist, and you've got to try. And if one inhaler doesn't work, they will give you other inhalers that will work, because there's a little bit of art in this. There's not just an absolute. There's an art to this to see which inhaler will make a difference. And you've got to diagnosis. You don't have to search anymore. You need an inhaler. Even though you don't like to use an inhaler, that's okay. Uh-huh. Every time you put the inhaler in, you go, I got to use that inhaler. And then use it the next day. And you say the same thing. Now, let me explain something. I'm an old guy. And years ago, now that I'm 77, I don't mind saying that. I say, I'm an old guy. And years ago, I had some cholesterol issues, and my cardiologist I went to, I said, hey, wait a minute. I'm eating right. I'm doing everything right. I'm the right weight. I exercise. Why do I have a cholesterol problem? You know what he said to me? You have the genes of a cholesterol problem. I said, I don't want to take a cholesterol-lowering agent. He said, that's okay. Mm-hmm. Maybe you'll get a heart attack or a stroke soon. And you know what I did? Every day I took my statin to lower the cholesterol. I would say, I don't want to take any pills. But I've been doing it for so many years, I forgot that I even say that anymore. I just pop the pills in my mouth and I take them every day. And I'm really very healthy now because I take my pills. You need the inhaler. It is going to improve your life because you're going to be able to go back and do things.
Right. Okay, well, are you? Do you use them like every day?
Yes, is that how, use them every day.
Tell me.
Because they either reduce the mucus. Yeah, use it every day. What you want to do is you want to be able to do your sport whenever you want to do your sport, right? You don't want to say, oh, I got to use it. I got to use it the day before. You don't want that. You want to use something every day. So if you feel like going out and taking a run, you can go take a run. That's what you want. Okay. You want to be back to where you were before. And with an inhaler, you might get all the way back or partially back, but you want to improve what you have right now. And you don't want to think about it. You want to take something every day. I'm big into take it every day, swear at the inhaler, and you do it after. Swear at the inhaler after you use it.
You can swear at Zorba even if you want.
You can
every
swear
time
at me.
You take an
That's
inhaler.
Right. Zorba casters swear on your health. You got it. So.
All right. I might just take you up on that.
Well, thanks for sharing your story.
Thank you so much.
Okay, you take care now.
Appreciate your advice.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Thanks so much for that call at 800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. All right, Zorba, let's get to our first healthy living topic. This is new research out of the UK. Sugar in the first 1,000 days after conception linked to health issues later in life.
Well, it's very, very interesting. So let's look at this. This has to do with healthcare in the United Kingdom. So World War II, sugar rationing, okay, it occurred. So in 1940, they started rationing sugar, access to sugar, fats, bacon, cheese, meat, it was all limited. So they looked at how much sugar people were eating. They weren't eating very much. They couldn't get very much. Then, in September of 1953, all of a sudden they said, hey, you can have as much sugar as you want to. And almost immediately, people doubled the amount of sugary stuff they were eating. Right? Hey, sugar's off. Let's have some sugar.
Let's go nuts.
They doubled the amount of sugar. So they looked then at 1,000 days after conception. Okay, so after women got pregnant, because in the UK they have a healthcare system where they keep track. So a number of women got pregnant, and they looked at 1,000 days after pregnant. So in other words, it's during the time they have the baby. And it's after the time they have the baby. And what's going on with the baby? It's what mom and baby are eating and drinking, what's coming out through the milk. And lo and behold, women who ate more sugar had children who were more likely to have diabetes.
Hmm.
In other words, it means what you're eating during pregnancy can affect what your baby has as a disease 30 or 40 years later.
Hmm.
In other words, it makes a difference. So that eating a lot of sugar during pregnancy may affect a child when the child becomes an adult.
Hmm.
So once again, there are a few take-home messages that I think is very important. But basically, if you eat more sugary things when you're pregnant, you are more likely to have problems during your pregnancy. You may develop diabetes, but your child may develop diabetes when they are older,
decades
40 or
later.
50.
Right.
Correct.
Yeah.
Decades later. But also, it's after pregnancy, when the baby comes out, you may have more sugar or whatever it is in your milk, because most of these women are breastfeeding. This is back in the 50s. You're looking at data now. So they breastfeed. The breastfeeding milk may have more sugar or something else, whatever we don't understand, that also affects the baby when the baby is 40 and 50 and 60 years of age. So once again, it looks at sweet things from the moment of conception and birth may make a difference. And once again, it looks at the fact that there's a very critical period when you get pregnant, when you have a baby during your pregnancy, and after the baby comes out, from a nutritional point of view, that affects that child as an adult. That means fresh fruits and vegetables, stay away from the sugar, have a good diet. And after the baby comes out, don't go whole hog and start saying the baby is coming out. I can then eat and drink whatever I want to. I mean, putting alcohol aside when I say that. The fact is, even after the baby comes out, you make a difference in that child when that child is your age or older.
800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. Call anytime, leave us a voicemail if you'd like to. Let's go to one of those now. This is a listener from Las Cruces, New Mexico.
Which is the best calcium to repair bone loss when you have osteoporosis? I would like to know which is the best calcium that is absorbed by the body. Thank you, Zorba. I appreciate you answering my question.
So first of all, the calcium that we get when we get calcium, it's calcium carbonate that we get, and it's chalk. But I mean, it's not chalk like used on a sidewalk.
Mm-hmm.
Did you use chalk on a sidewalk?
Sure, I've chalked a sidewalk.
Yeah. You've chalked a sidewalk.
is that how you say that?
I've never thought about chalked the sidewalk.
Yeah.
But it's basically chalk. It's inorganic because calcium is inorganic. There's nothing organic about it. And so when you get it, it's in a pill. It might be in a form. It might be in a liquid. But it's pretty much the same. But calcium you get from food is different because it's in a different vehicle. It is the same inorganic calcium, but it's connected to food. And our body absorbs it somewhat differently. So the best way to take care of osteoporosis is a combination of food calcium and then a pill, calcium pill. And that's what I recommend. So that means we live in Wisconsin, dairy products, yogurt, cheese. Yogurt has about, I think, 400 or 500 milligrams of calcium in it. If you've got osteoporosis, you want to get more to that 1,500 or 1,800 milligrams a day. So the best calcium is some from food and some really concentrated from a pill. So, okay, Carl. Have you ever taken Tums or Rolaids?
Yeah, occasionally, sure, if I need that.
Then you have taken calcium.
Okay.
That's exactly what it is.
All right.
So a typical Tum is 500 milligrams of calcium. Exercising Tums are 750 milligrams of calcium. So you take two of those, you've got 1,500 milligrams of calcium. And anyone with osteoporosis, you don't want to just take the calcium tablets. You want to also get calcium from foods. As I said, dairy is very concentrated, but if you want to know which foods have calcium, you go to Google.
Mm-hmm.
And you put down a list, you write down in Google, you say, hey, Google or Siri, what are calcium-rich foods? And you eat them every day. And you want a combination of both, and it will improve things.
800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. All right, before we take a break, Zorba, we always love hearing from the grammar police. You love them. Here's a new one, though. This email came from the complex, layered, and often tear-inducing division of the Grammar Police. This one's from the Onion Police.
Oh, the Onion Police. Wow, I haven't heard from them in years.
That's kind of creepy. They're nice people, though, I feel like. This is, yeah. All right.
Well, that's because they have to hold their nose all the time because they're chopping onions. And otherwise,
their eyes
start to tear. It goes through the nose into the eyes and you tear.
There you go. All right. The following voicemail is from an onion expert from right here in Madison, Wisconsin.
You were discussing onions and what the compound makes the eyes water and whatnot. And you're correct. It is the sulfur in the soil that the onion has grown in. The onion plant extracts the sulfur from the soil and makes it into a compound that is actually a defense mechanism for the onion to keep predators and other creatures from eating it. It's an irritant to the eyes. However, that's what makes Vidalia onions special. The true Vidalia onion is only that's grown a handful of counties in, I think it's Georgia, where the soil is very rich, but it's deplete of sulfur. So the Vidalia onions, what makes them so good is that they don't have a significant amount of that compound that is an irritant to the eyes.
Huh.
So thanks for all your good information. I love your show. Take care.
Thank you. I never knew
Fascinating.
That.
Fascinating.
I just thought Vidalia onions cost more.
Oh, yeah?
And when I've chopped them, I've never paid attention.
To if you're tearing up or not?
Wait,
yeah,
do you
I haven't
tear
either.
Up when you chop onions?
Sure, yeah.
Who doesn't tear up when you chop onions?
Right.
Then there are all these tricks, like hold a matchstick in your mouth.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's when people smoked. They would hold matchsticks
smoke
in their mouth.
Smoke a cigarette while you cut onions?
Actually, maybe that helps. If you smoke a cigarette while you... I don't think that's going to work in my house. I'm not gonna, hey, what are you doing? I'm smoking again because I'm chopping onions.
This is a healthy living show. We can't really recommend
that.
About
it. Yeah. But that's very interesting that it has to do with the extraction of sulfur within the soil. And I'm going to go and get a Vidalia onion. I'm going to try it. And I'm also going to chop different onions and see if different onions produced, I've never thought about more watery stuff. I mean, sometimes aren't you chopping onions and go, well, I've got to stop, right?
Right. Yeah. You get out of hand quickly.
Yeah, has that happened to you?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah,
you tear up all the time.
Yeah, you tear up all the time. Yeah. You're not crying. You're just tearing
up. You're
just
tearing
up. It's different.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's different. Yeah. I'm waiting for the pun.
I don't have, maybe I'll try it here. Do you want to join the ever-growing grammar police force? Maybe you find yourself super onionated.
Oh, that's good.
Is
super
that good?
Onionated.
I don't know.
Well, it's bad.
Is it kind
it's
of like opinionated?
It's so bad.
But it's,
yeah, onionated.
It's just, yeah,
onionated.
It's great when you have to explain the joke.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
just post on our Facebook page or send us an email at
sorba@wpr.org.
All right.
If you have to explain the joke.
Those are the best jokes.
That's right.
More of your calls to come, more of your emails, and we'll be talking to a special guest recipe author. That's going to be really good. All that coming up on Zorba Pastor on Your Health. From PRX. Carl Christensen in Buck Studio. You're listening to Zorba Pastor on Your Health. And if you have a healthy living question, the number to call anytime is 800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. But before we get back to the phone lines, we have a special recipe segment today with a special guest author. We have Leslie Enston. She's a recipe developer and a food writer, and her recipes have been featured in Bon Appetit, New York Times.
Great recipes. Right, right.
Her new cookbook is called Belly Full.
What a great name.
Exploring,
Belly Full.
Yeah, Belly Full. Exploring Caribbean cuisine through 11 fundamental ingredients and over 100 recipes. She joins us today to share a delicious recipe from that book. Leslie, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me.
I love this book, and I love the cover of the book. What I really love is the very beginning of the book, you know, in this fabulous book, Bellyful. It says, "For my mother, who taught me to prioritize joy and that love is the main ingredient in any dish, and my father, who showed me the power of the written word and how to make a salad." I thought, wow, what a great introduction. You really thought a lot about that, didn't you?
I did. Well, and it's also something that was just, you know, sort of in my heart all my life.
So how did you come up with this book? I mean, what was it? Tell me a little bit about the history of this and where it came from.
Well, I'd always wanted to do some sort of Caribbean book. You know, it was very apparent to me that we weren't being represented on the bookshelves. Mm-hmm. And growing up in a household of Trinidadian food and being surrounded by other islands' food all the time, I wondered about that. Why aren't there more cookbooks that feature our food? Why aren't there more cookbooks that feature our ingredients? So it was something that was really important to me. I wanted to highlight our food for everyone. I wanted to document traditional recipes. I think that's really important. I think that sometimes younger people aren't necessarily learning all the things from their parents and their grandparents and their great-grandparents. So I wanted to put it on paper.
And all of your recipes, you know, you talk about things like pumpkin fritters, and fritters like this show up all over the island. So there's a history with all of these recipes that make it a really interesting, you know, interesting look. And bami, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it correctly, but this side dish, how do you pronounce it, by the way? Is it bami or bami?
Bami.
See, you would know. I would hit it wrong in the first place. But it says this side dish or snack has a history connected to both the native peoples of the Caribbean and the Maroons, Africa. I mean, there's a whole history here that makes it interesting to read. And then you get to the recipe, and the recipes are awesome.
Thank you so much. That was my hope. I want people to learn because there is so much history behind these dishes. It was a huge moment in world history when all these cultures came together.
Yes, yes.
And a lot of things happened. And a lot of people don't know that these things that we eat have all this layered history behind them.
So how long have you been sort of cooking, chefing? How long have you been doing that?
Well, I've been cooking all my life, basically. You know, I was in the kitchen with my mom as a kid. For some reason, she never trusted my sister in the kitchen. Even when she's older.
Wait a minute. She never trusted your sister. In other words, she connected with you right away.
Yeah. My sister would come and say, "Do you want me to help you?" My mom was like, "No, it's okay."
Oh, that's so funny. That's funny. Family relationships. I have four kids. I can understand that. It's family relations.
Exactly. And then professionally, it started, I would say, 2020.
Mm-hmm. So we've got a wonderful recipe, mango chow. And, I've seen the word chow. I understand it. Where does the word chow fit in? Is it always a mixture? What exactly is it always a mixture of?
So it can be any kind of fruit, and it's usually a less ripe fruit. So you don't want anything that's too sweet.
Mm-hmm.
But people make it out of mango, cucumber, pineapple, tomatoes. I've heard of people doing it with like underripe peaches, all sorts of things. The key ingredient is really the Scotch bonnet pepper, the heat.
How does the Scotch bonnet pepper differ from regular peppers? What exactly is it that makes it special?
So there is technically the heat factor. Scotch bonnet peppers are extremely hot. They're one of the hottest peppers in the world. But also they have this, I always refer to it as a smoky taste.
Got it.
And that's the tricky thing when you're trying to replace them. Because you could use a habanero pepper, which is more accessible, I think, everywhere, but they don't quite have the same taste. So it'll do, but...
But it's not quite the same. All right, let's go into our recipe. So it's spicy mango salad. So we start out with two half-ripe large mangoes. What mangoes do you use? I mean, I've been around the world, and they're mangoes, and they're mangoes.
This is true. And in this case, I think it's perfectly fine to use whatever mango you have access
to. Got it. Thank you very much. That's exactly it. Because there are mangoes, then there are mangoes, then there are mangoes,
yes.
There are mangoes.
And people can get into fight about mangoes.
Totally. It's like, I like this mango, I like that mango, this mango is in there. I mean, there are mangoes. I mean, and I love mangoes, but I'm aware of that. So two large half-ripe, that is the most important thing, is that they're half ripe. Juice of two limes, of course you've got to use fresh limes. Lime juice, come on, reconstituted lime juice, it just doesn't make it. A teaspoon of kosher salt, 5 garlic cloves that you mince. Do you chop them up or do you mince them through like a garlic press or smush them up? What do you do with that garlic?
You could use a garlic press. That would be fine. You want them small because you are eating them raw, so you don't want any big raw chunks of garlic.
That's right. So half a scotch bonnet pepper seeded and minced. And if we don't have a scotch bonnet, I'll have to look around and see whether or not I can get them in Madison. I have no idea. But
I feel like I've seen them around.
But also, we have a variety of different ethnic grocery stores around. Mm-hmm. And so my guess is one of them has the scotch bonnet. You know, I could go to Google and ask her.
Yeah.
Or Siri and find it. And of course, 1/4 cup of cilantro. So place the mangoes in a medium bowl. Then add the lime juice, salt, and garlic, and the scotch bonnet pepper and cilantro, and toss it. It sounds wonderful.
Simple.
And easy.
Yes.
And easy.
Yes, it's so easy. The first time I ever had it, I was in Trinidad sitting in my mom's friend's kitchen, and she's talking, and she's just slicing things up, and I'm sort of watching her. What is she doing? And she puts this thing in front of me, and I was a teenager and still a little bit picky.
Sure.
And so I was not sure, but I'm like, okay, mangoes. Well, I like mangoes, so cool. And I mean, it just was transformative. It's such a simple dish, but for some reason, those ingredients come together and they make something totally different.
Well, you've got the sweetness of the mango, but you've got a texture because it's not fully done. You've got, you know, the lime, which has its own juice, and then you've got some garlic in there, and then you've got heat.
You got the heat.
A whole variety of different things that make it refreshing and really sort of bouncy and refreshing and bouncy. So it's a wonderful, wonderful recipe. And this cookbook is filled with so many other wonderful recipes. And I'm not going to try to pronounce them because I'll pronounce them wrong. Curry chana and eldu. Yeah. Is that, did
you
I pronounce
it.
That? Oh, not bad. Metamegi? How do you pronounce that? I mean,
Metamgi.
I got to tell you something. It's a wonderful cookbook filled with beautiful, beautiful pictures. It's so delightfully done. You've got wonderful, I mean, the recipes are really good, but I really like the discussions in there. Like, you know, you said I originally assigned this recipe to Haiti. I mean, every recipe has a history to it. So it's a novel and a history along with the recipes. And I think it's a wonderful cookbook. It's also a wonderful cookbook this time of year when people are thinking about gifts to give.
Sure.
This is a wonderful thing to open up for anyone who wants to think of a gift for somebody who loves to cook.
Mm-hmm.
And we should all cook more in America.
And we'll put the link on our website for this book so you can easily find it.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Leslie, thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
And
thank you for writing this cookbook.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
You take care now.
Bye.
To get a copy of today's recipe or to find out more about Leslie Enten's new book, Belly Full, Exploring Caribbean Cuisine Through 11 Fundamental Ingredients and Over 100 Recipes, just go to our website at
Zorba@WPR.org. And of course, through Facebook.
All right, let's go to a voicemail now. Let's try to help out a caller in Jacksonville, Florida.
I was wondering if there was any relationship between joint pain and gluten intake. Thank you.
No. There's really no relation. Now one caveat. For people who feel better because they're gluten-free. So first of all, many people are gluten-free. They don't have they don't have celiac disease, but they feel better gluten-free. And they say, well, I don't tolerate it. So for those people, they may just feel better. And so they may have less joint pain because they feel better. Do you have days where sometimes you feel better than others?
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Do your joints ache at all?
Maybe if I've overexerted or exercised. Uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
But that's a good ache.
Yeah, it's a good
ache.
But
you ever wake up and you just don't feel
sometimes
really?
You're like sometimes, not sure why.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
So some people maybe wake up in the morning, they really don't feel good, and they reduce gluten from their diet and they feel better. And they eat a gluten-free diet and they feel better. So then your joint pain will ache less because you feel better. In other words, sometimes you're more up, and so the pain doesn't bother you. Now, I'll give a good example. I have wrist pain.
Okay.
I've got terrible wrists. Under the x-ray, I mean, I shouldn't be using my wrists, like awful, but you need your wrists and everything.
Yeah.
Does it bother me? Well, some days it bothers me. more than other days. You know, I don't know why I ache in a pain or something else, but I can ignore it on a day that I'm doing a lot of fun stuff. But on days where I'm sitting around and there's rain outside and I'm not doing very much, you're smiling.
Oh, you start to really fixate on it sometimes,
Well,
right?
That is...
You notice it.
Right. And so if you're gluten-free and you feel better and you don't notice your joints, it does reduce joint pain. But it really doesn't reduce joint pain. You're just feeling better. You get it?
I get my feeling?
I follow. That's why you're the partner on the show. You see? That's why you're the partner.
I'm a yes man. I just nod my head. Oh, yeah,
you're the yes man. That's right. You're the yes man.
800-46.
You're also the joke man. You're not just the yes man.
Sometimes,
that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Sometimes. I didn't say you're the good joke man.
No,
I've told you. You should have done comedy. You should have stand up and done comedy.
I don't know about that.
Wait a second.
Okay.
Since you don't have a joke, I'll make it. Carl, you're a gluten for punishment.
Good. Someone can do it today. That's good. I guess I don't have it in me today. So 800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. All right, before the break, Zorba, we love when our listeners contribute their healthy living tips to the show. The following email came from Terry in Wauwatosa, Wisconsin. Terry writes, on a recent show, one of your callers mentioned insulin that's available from a large retailer without a prescription. I thought you may be interested to know. I take it as well. I'm a type 1 diabetic, 53 years and counting.
Wow, that's a long time.
Yeah. Terry says, I had a brief conversation with a pharmacist with that retailer regarding that insulin. He told me it's manufactured by Novo Nordisk on the same production lines as the rest of its insulins.
Correct. That's right.
I switched to that insulin at the recommendation of my nurse practitioner when I lost my job and insurance a number of years ago. It works better for me than what I'd been taking. So no reason to go back to the more expensive label.
Correct. Well, first of all, there's a lot of insulin. I don't know exactly which ones are available, but there are insulins such as there's regular insulin and a more long-acting insulin. And the fact is, she's discovered she didn't have to pay as much money to actually take a different insulin. But you then have to adjust between one insulin versus another. The fact that you can now get it without a prescription is very useful for diabetics who have lost their job, have a high deductible, and do not want to go to a doctor or a nurse practitioner. And I really commend the government for making sure that's available and the states for saying, yes, you can get this without a prescription. Good job.
Do you have a healthy living tip to share? Just leave us a voicemail, or you can always send us an email at
Zorba@WPR.org.
Much more of the show to come. We'll have more of your calls. We'll tackle another interesting healthy living topic and more of your emails as well. So keep it right here on Zorba Pastor on Your Health from PRX. Christensen in Buck Studio. You're listening to Zorba Pastor on Your Health. He's right across the desk from me. Dr. Zorba Pastor, right there. He's right,
I'm right
there.
Here.
In the flesh.
That's me.
He's
in
wearing
the flesh.
Oh, that's the
that's
hat
right.
I gave you. The
that's
Zorba's hat.
She finally noticed it.
Oh my gosh.
I've been wearing it.
There
you didn't
it
notice it.
No.
Come on.
I'm honored you're wearing the hat
I'm
I gave you.
I'm wearing the hat. I love it. Whenever I wear it, people go, how did you get that hat made? I go, well, and then I tell them the whole story.
The whole story,
picked
yeah
it up, Minnesota, I go through the whole thing. No, I do.
All right. If you have a question for the good doc, call anytime, 800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. You know that number
I do
now. You really
I do
know. Before the phones, though, before we get back to them, 5 minutes of extra exercise a day could lower your blood pressure?
Yeah, it can make a big difference. So first of all,
I sounded
we know,
skeptical there, didn't
we
I?
We know. Well, you definitely sounded skeptical. But we know that exercise is important for blood pressure. So this is a study published in the journal Circulation, big, important journal. It's a study called the ProPass study, Prospective of Physical Activity, Sitting, and Sleep. Hmm. So we've got several things that affect blood pressure, whether or not we get up and move around. Okay, that's one thing. How much we sleep, separate variable, do we sleep 4 hours, 6 hours, 8 hours a night? And then how much we sit, So you may not be exercising, but you may not be sitting. Hmm. And sitting, we know, is a separate independent activity. So they looked specifically at people who are exercising. Maybe they exercise 15, 20 minutes. How, by the way, how often do you exercise? You've got two kids at home. How many times a week do you exercise?
I try to get like 3 to 4 days a week.
And then what do you do?
Play tennis, ride the bike.
So different
brisk
things.
Walks.
Yeah, but I think that's important. I think a different exercise is really important. I mean, it gets away with the boredom factor. I mean,
right.
when we were redoing our basement, my daughter Vanessa said, how much dust is on the elliptical? And I went down the basement. That's right.
You mean the clothing dryer, the clothing rack?
And the elliptical. And I said, are you talking about the elliptical or the exercise bike or the treadmill? So I finally got rid of all that stuff, and I discovered that it's better for me exercise to go to a trainer. I mean, that's because I am allergic to exercise, so somebody has to walk me through it. But for other people, it can be a gym or something else. But it's something that you're doing. And this particular study showed that as little, whatever you're doing, as 5 minutes of exercise. They took people who were exercising 20 minutes a day, measured their blood pressure, looked at their blood pressure. These are people with elevated blood pressure, many of them on medicines. And then they added like 5 minutes more of exercise. Lo and behold, they discovered it lowered their blood pressure by 2 to 4 millimeters, their systolic blood pressure. So it was an important issue that showed that as little as 5 to 10 minutes of extra exercise can make a difference. And these are people, the way they measured it is you wore something called an accelerometer. And this device on their thigh measured how much activity they had, how much sitting they did, and it also measured how much sleep they got. And so there are three variables here, if you have high blood pressure, that makes a difference. Everyone should be in bed 6 to 8 hours a night. 7 hours, 8 hours, much better. In bed. Mm-hmm. You may not be sleeping perfectly. And not, you're smiling.
I'm never sleeping perfectly.
You wake up during the night?
Yeah, I do.
Have you been doing that your whole life?
Well, I can remember, I'm a terrible sleeper.
Yeah, so what do you do when you wake up?
Just try to go back to bed.
And do you succeed?
Yeah, usually.
Yeah, yeah. You just go back
to bed. It's rare that I'm up all night.
Yeah. I mean, you wake up in the middle, after 4 hours. I'm going to go
it's
dig more into
random.
This.
It's random. It's all over the place. I should do a sleep study,
that's right.
Really.
You should do a sleep study.
Really
no,
should.
Maybe. You just wake up during the night, but you eventually get back to sleep, right?
Eventually.
Yeah, that's it.
Right.
So you get in bed. You don't get out. You don't get out of bed.
I usually try not to get up and
that's
walk
right.
around because then I'm more, I wake
then
up even
you
more.
Up. Yeah. So sleep is really important. Staying in bed is really important. The second thing is sitting. We sit too much. Do you sit too much during the day?
Of course. Sitting
of
is
course.
The new smoking. You've been saying that for years.
Right. So that's a real issue, and we don't do it enough. But the third thing is, no matter what you're doing, an extra 5 minutes may lower your blood pressure. So that may mean that sometime during the day, you go, hey, I'm going to get up from my chair. I'm going to set my timer on my watch. And I'm going to walk around my house for 5 minutes. That may help lower your blood pressure. It's a real simple thing to do, no matter what you're doing. So if you have high blood pressure, even if you're exercising, take 5 minutes out of your day. Everyone's got 5 minutes. When you're sitting down, instead of going down that YouTube video of cat videos or looking at the newspaper or something else, get up and walk around for 5 minutes. Set a timer. Just make it 5 minutes. Measure your blood pressure if you've got an ambulatory blood pressure cuff. And according to this study, that may get your blood pressure under better control. Five a day means your blood pressure might go away.
That's a nice rhyme.
It's kind
that's
of rhyme.
Beautiful.
I tried to do it, but I'm not good at rhyming. You know, you're the rhymester. You know, I tried it. You know, I got gluten.
That was great. You're asking for more jokes from me, and no one else is asking for that, but I'm going to give you one here just because for it.
Go ahead.
So this study came from the journal called Circulation.
That's right. Go ahead.
Personally, I had never heard of this journal
before.
It's
a famous journal. Very famous journal.
It is famous. Well,
that's
I'm not a doctor.
Yeah, that's right. That's
but
right.
Do you think since, you know, the layperson hasn't heard of
that's right,
this circulation
yes,
maybe they
yes.
should
yes.
work on their
yes.
circulation? Is that what it's called? Like magazines?
Circulation. I got it.
Right.
I got it.
No
that
one wanted that joke.
There's
800.
I got it. That's
462
okay.
7413.
That's right.
That's 800-462-7413. All right. Let's try to help out a caller now in Oak Ridge, Tennessee. Hi.
Hi. Hi, Dr. Zorba.
Hi. How are you today?
Well, I'm doing all right, or as I tell my husband, as well as we can be, given the condition our condition is in. So.
Yeah, that's right. There we go.
That's a Kenny Rogers song.
Yeah,
I feel
that's
like,
Kenny
isn't it?
Rogers song. Yeah, there really is. So how can we help you today?
Well, Dr. Zorba, I am 72 years old. I have had tachycardia for, I guess now it's been about 3 years.
Uh-huh.
The first attack I had, I think, was probably in maybe, it was in the summer, I think, of, I can't remember if it was 2020 or 2021, but it was like, unlike anything I had ever experienced. I was in a store, and the first thing I felt was that my legs felt like rubber all
the time. Sure, of course.
And then my heart took off like a jet plane. I wasn't sure what
And that's what it is. Tachycardia, for people who don't know, means a fast heart. That's what it is. So you describe it perfectly. Your heart took off like a jet plane. I've never heard anyone describe it that way. That is what it feels like.
And, well, I had the store call my husband, and he came and got me, and he took me to my primary care physician, and she could not get my heart rate to come down. It was over 200, and they did the carotid artery massage, and I don't remember what else. But anyway, she sent me to the emergency room, and they gave me intervenous adenosine.
Right.
My heart came down. After that, you know, I thought maybe it was just a one-off and it would not come back. But it has come back intermittently since. I started going to a cardiologist who put me on Verapamil SR 180, and that is very helpful. When I have an attack now, I try not to go to the emergency room. I have some fast-acting Verapamil 20 that I put under my tongue when I have it. And I also have Xanax that I put under my tongue, which they tell me does nothing for my heart, but I know that it probably does have an effect because it makes me not feel as panicked.
It doesn't
feel like I'm going to die.
Right, it doesn't affect the heart directly, but it definitely affects, there's anxiety associated with a fast heart because a super fast heart rate can make you feel very, very uncomfortable. Now, for years, I've intermittently suffered from atrial fibrillation. And when it comes in and I get a pulse, it only goes up to 120 or 130. I don't like the way that it feels. If it went up to 160 or 170, I know exactly what you're talking about. It makes you feel panicky. And the reason is flight or fright. When we get scared about something, our heart rate goes up. And so we associate that in our brain with panic because usually it's fight or fright, you know, flight or fright. I mean, that's what it is. It's an adrenal response. So that in our brain makes us feel panicky. So taking that Xanax also helps. But getting back to the issue, how often is it happening now that you have the Verapamil that you're on?
I thought it was much better at first. It seems they come in, like I may go 2 months without an attack, and then I will have two, like maybe within a week. For some reason, they seem to come together. I had an appointment for an ablation at Vanderbilt. Mm-hmm.
Good. That's what I was thinking
on the 15th, but I decided not to do it because I was just not psychologically ready to do it. I told my husband I was going to try to get better at coping with this myself before I start burning my own tissue.
Yeah, let me make a suggestion. First of all, ablations are great. And let me tell you what they do in an ablation, because I'm a great believer in them. But you've got to be psychologically, you know, decided. So they go into the heart, and what they do, they have four different things in there. They have something to check the heart rate. There's something else they look at, and they find out where this tachyarrhythmia is coming from. They put a little zip there, and they measure it, and they go, oh, it's right over there. And then what they do, they ablate it. They actually either burn a little bit of tissue, or they freeze a little bit of tissue, and they destroy the superhighway that is causing the tachyarrhythmia. Now, no matter what you do, if you've had this for a number, if you've had this long enough, and it's repeatedly there, it's probably going to continue for the rest of your life. And if it continues for the rest of your life, it doesn't kill you, but it certainly is very uncomfortable when it happens. And if they can't find a medicine that works, you want to go this way. Now, the medicines, the other issue is the medicines also have side effects. In other words, you're on Verapamil, which is a great drug. It's been around for 30 years. It's a safe drug. It's a really good drug. But there are other cardiac drugs that they can use that can stop the tachyarrhythmia, but they have side effects. And as you get older, it turns about there's a side effect from the medicine that may be less than the side effect from the ablation. Do you follow me? The ablation is basically, you should think of it as surgery to the heart. That's basically what it is. And you've got to be psychologically ready to do it. But if I had a tachyarrhythmia that bothered me on and off like that over time, I would go the ablation. Personally, that's what I would do. I would say the ablation is good, and that's the case. And let me tell you, I've had an ablation.
Oh, you have?
Yeah, I've had atrial fibrillation. And it went on and off intermittently, and I thought, I can't deal with this anymore. And I had the ablation. And you know what? I'm a happy camper. You know, I had an ablation. I went to sleep. You know, I said, when I went in there, I said, I'm going to count down. They said, you don't have to count down. I said, well, they do it in the movies. I said, I want to count down. I'll count up. What number do I get to? And the next thing I remember is I woke up and it was done. It was it.
And you had no problem with it, and it worked because it doesn't always work.
It doesn't always work. That's right. Well, nothing always works. Come on, you're 70. Yeah. You're 72 years old. Does something always work in life? Sometimes you know life throws you a curve, and what do? A curveball. Well, you catch it or you miss it, and you get up and you move forward. No, I've had an ablation. Perfect. I don't usually talk about on this show. I don't always talk about what I have, but I think when it fits something. Yeah, I have an ablation. I'm fine. So that's what I would recommend because I felt pretty good, and I don't remember a thing. I just went to sleep, and I woke up, and they said, you're done. And I said, thank you very much. Then I didn't go home the next day. Did I go home the next day? No, I stayed overnight.
Yeah.
And Vanderbilt is a great, great university. You want to have an electrophysiological cardiologist who does a lot of them. That's what you want. You want to pick your doctor well.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Dr. Zorba. I'm much encouraged that you have had an ablation yourself and can recommend it heartily.
Well, you're welcome. And thanks for your call.
All right. Thank you so much.
You take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks so much for that call at 800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. All right, Zorba, let's take a listener email. The following question came from Amy in Wisconsin, who writes, hello, Dr. Zorba. I'm familiar with motion sickness, so when traveling on planes, I make sure to keep myself hydrated and have tried Dramamine and or motion sickness patches. While on a plane, I feel great, but the next day or even 2 days later, I will randomly feel awful, headaches, vertigo, and nausea. Last year, I came back from Ireland on a Monday.
Okay.
I felt fine.
Mm-hmm.
Tuesday, no problem.
Mm-hmm.
Wednesday afternoon, I almost fainted.
Wow.
My doctor said I had low blood pressure and encouraged me to eat more salt and caffeine until I was normal.
Uh-huh.
I've always had perfect blood pressure. I'm 32 years old and healthy. I've got a trip to Japan coming up and was hoping for any advice for a 13-hour flight. Thanks so much.
Well, I've got some advice. First of all, get support stockings.
Okay.
It's good advice. Get support stockings. Mm-hmm. Got to do something with circulation. Take your Dramamine, whatever you take for motion sickness if you get it. But I would cut it in half. I would take half the dose. You may not need the whole dose. You might just have a little bit of hangover over that. The next thing I would do is, you know, for the next day you're bothered, I would just hydrate. I'd eat a lot of good food. I'd probably eat food that is more salty. I think that actually is a good idea.
That's good advice.
Well, maybe it's a salt issue. We know that eating too much salt increases your blood pressure. And maybe your blood pressure is low because something is going on, you know, a day or 2 days later. But I think having the dose, how do you pronounce that?
Halving.
But why it's not
halving?
Halving the dose.
Get that L in there.
Halving the dose. But having the dose may make a difference. Now, if you take the scopolamine patch, which people do for motion sickness, that can hang on for a while. Mm. So that actually can be part of it. But I would do that. I would just eat more. I would make sure I hydrated and stuff like that. If you wonder if it's your blood pressure, you may want to get an automatic blood pressure cuff for like $30-$40. Omron, O-M-R-O-N, is the one I recommend. Just check your blood pressure for a few days and see whether or not it really is a blood pressure issue. Mm-hmm. It may not be that. It may be what you're taking for the motion sickness, in which case maybe you should try something else or try nothing at all.
800-462-7413. That's
800-462-7413. See, we are a team.
We're doing this. That's right. All right. Before this team clocks out, we love getting voicemails from folks who want to share a comment or a health tip with us. So it's time again for the segment we call Caller Comments.
This is a bunch of caller comments. People calling us with their health tips.
Thanks. We appreciate it.
We do appreciate it.
Of course.
We love do. It.
Yeah.
A lot of triangle work in that song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Triangle work. Yeah.
Did you hear the triangle in there?
I did.
All right. Zorba, first up, let's hear from a listener in Watertown, Wisconsin.
They're talking about turmeric, and I actually just take the spice of turmeric and ginger in tea with honey and lemon, and it works for my joints for the arthritis. Thanks.
A lot of people like turmeric, and that's really good
joints?
To do. Yeah, for the joints. It's a great idea. Great idea.
Good. Thanks, Watertown. All right, finally, let's hear from a listener in Salina, Kansas.
Hi, guys. I had called in about my growth hormone and adrenal deficiency, and thanks to your advice, I have growth hormone again. I'm not back to normal. It's going to take a while, but I was very excited to tell you that I got that, and I appreciate you.
That was great.
Do
you remember the
that
call?
That was a call maybe a few months ago.
Yeah, what do you remember?
I remember the advice you gave her. She
remember
wasn't
what it was?
The insur- there was That's problems right. with the insurance
you know
putting up a roadblock.
Yeah, do you remember
I
what
think
I said?
You said get a lawyer.
That's
didn't
right.
You?
I said get a lawyer.
And it
I said
sounds
this
like it
is
worked.
An insurance issue. There, you know, the insurance company was saying that the office was not giving the right information. She had a good relationship with the office, which means she had a good office. Mm-hmm. And I assume the insurance company was just saying, "Hey, we don't want to pay."
Mm-hmm.
And the answer is, "You know what? I'm going to get a lawyer." And obviously, the lawyer made a difference. That's great.
That's what you do with this show, Zorba. That's great. Do you have a tip or comment for the show? Just send us an email at
Zorba@WPR.org.
All right. Should we do this again next week?
Absolutely.
If you missed anything during the show, or you just want to stream the show online anytime?
Anytime.
Visit us on the web.
Anytime.
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 Just visit us on the web. Where?
Zorba. Sorry, it's ZorbaPastor.org. And of course through Facebook. I know I've got to stay on task. It's a big problem.
And you can call us anytime. Leave us your question at 800-462-7413. Zorba Pastor on Your Health is a production of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's not intended as a medical diagnosis, so please do check with your doc. Our executive producer is me, Carl Christensen, and our technical director is Brad Kohlberg. Our theme music is by Leo and Ben Sidran. For Zorba Pastor, I'm Carl Christensen, asking you to join us on the next
Zorba Pastor on Your Health.
From WPR.
Did you miss something on today's show? Simply go to ZorbaPastor.org to catch up on all things Zorba. There you will find recipes from the show, links to the Facebook page, Zorba's Healthy Living articles, and you can subscribe to the weekly podcast. On the web, that's ZorbaPastor.org.